with lashings of country news, science fiction views, top interviews and a clear audio muse. It's the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
Hurrah, hurrah and hurrah again. So have you decided the question in terms of what have we got? I mean, weather-wise in Lincoln, Holly, well, how would you describe it currently? I mean, that's obviously a key question that Cameron was having and wanted to actually talk into the news about it. You know?
Cold in the morning, yes. Then it kind of gets a little bit warmer and then that kind of sun that's masked by cloud. Oh. So it's bright, but cloudy.
And that is why we are East Midlands.
And then it's rained this afternoon, so it's a bit of an extra.
A bit of an extra. You see, it's wonderful. That's genius, you know. Holly is available to
deliver. Why am I not working for the Met Office?
Exactly. You know, or indeed Nashville Weather Today,
exactly.
You know, which I think would be a classic line from that.
If you were working at the Met, you'd just stand in front of the weather wheel of fortune, spin it, and it would say barbecue summer. And then it would rain.
I wish we could decide the weather like that.
Okay. John, share with us, in terms of your work as a literary agent, and, as we say, premier science fiction guru, of course, much beloved of our friends at SFX Magazine and a whole heap of other sort of finer things. How would you define your current role? Because, as you said, you've had a wealth of experience in the publishing industry covering a whole stack of things. So
as an agent, basically, you are representing the author. And selling their books to publishers, presenting their books to publishers. I get about 30 submissions every week, only science fiction, fantasy and horror. That's all I deal with. I've turned down over 9,000 people who've asked me to be their agent. I've taken on about 40, and that's a fairly average percentage.
9,000 people, Cameron. Selected 40. You know, you get on John Gerald's books, you are on the elite of the elite, the best of the best, because less than the best is not best enough. Also, John, you are one of our fantastic patrons behind Lincoln Inspired, and obviously Sarah Blumore and Sue North, and we all collectively founded this magical sort of event, which is happening in May. And Holly, you'll be part of it this year, won't you? Gabriella, you'll be part of it this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, we've got exciting programming plans as well from that point of view. What is it about Lincoln and Lincolnshire and Lincoln Inspired in particular that said, yes, I'm going to actually give the John Gerald seal of approval to Lincoln Inspired?
I think it's Sarah Bullimore, above all, because she is so good at what she does. And also it's a widespread of all the arts, and I'm fascinated by the arts in general.
I think that goes perfectly well. Now, we talk about the arts. I simply have to say, no, I'm not doing George Galloway. No, not even for our Heritage Railway friends. But it is Hip Kitty. Aww. Did you see what I did there, Holly?
Yes.
Thank you. It's all right. I thought I might have lost something in translation there, but, you know. This is your choice, Cameron, for today. It will be obviously resuscitated again tomorrow. I say resuscitated. It hasn't died. It's not a dead cat. It's not a dead cat bounce either. It is The Last Dance. Would you like to explain why we're just about to have a listen to this fantastic piece of music?
Yeah, on Saturday night, Jolie and I, of course, my talented and beautiful wife, singer-songwriter, her and I went to a private industry showcase for Hip Kitty at a recording studio in Gallatin, Tennessee, which is about a half an hour outside of Nashville. And it was at a recording studio, and it was shown off for some industry insiders, and it was a great night. They did this song. It's a brand-new song. Actually, it's an older song, but it's just now available on iTunes and places like that. This is Hip Kitty and The Last Dance on Siren FM.
This day was coming, but it came too fast. Oh, how can this be the last day?
Ed Wellman. That would be the Ed Wellman, John, in case you're sort of wondering. Ed Wellman, yeah, the Ed Wellman. Now, of course, Ed Wellman, MA, Community Radio, is that? Has graduated.
Congratulations.
Yeah. No,
of course, it was the master's graduation.
Exactly. All went well in the cathedral, saith Ed.
It's a lovely graduation celebration.
Can look forward to this, Gabrielle.
It's so nice in that cathedral. It's great.
He thought, great start, great tune, very Morissette. Not sure whether that will actually cause Cameron to sort of look for the nearest spittoon or whatever, but we'll just sort of wait and see. John, what did you make of Hip Kitty and The Last Dance?
Great. I've listened to country music since I was a kid, when Johnny Cash, Mel Haggard, Loretta Lynn, and ever since, and that's a really nice tune.
There we are. And, of course, this show, it's got country music, it's got SF, it's got movies, it's got Michelle Monroe, and it's got, of course, the Bach B minor mass with the Los Angeles Master Chorale as well. Splendid. So it sounds like Holly, The Last Dance, Hip Kitty.
Hip Kitty, very nice voice.
Voice, okay. Gabriella Peralta?
Probably one of my favourites that you've shown us, Cameron. Yeah, definitely one of my top favourite Cameron Tilbury songs.
One of Gabriella's top favourite Cameron Tilbury Maple Star Music and Media songs, Cameron. There we are. That's
very cool. Well, we're hoping to have Hip Kitty out on the road doing some touring this year, and that's just a great song for them. They're really hot.
Well, exactly. We should actually feature them. What do you think? Should we feature them on the show, Holly? Do you think we should put that request in? Yeah, I think we'll do that. A little name check for the Settle and Carlisle revival, The Line That Refused to Die. We had the writer of this, Brian Sharp, engaging in a fabulous little program you'll be able to hear in the not-too-distant future with some of the fine team from the Morton's Heritage Railway Group, including USA Brian Sharp, and we had Jack Harrison, former man from this show, of course, Cameron. You remember Jack Harrison?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I know he's singing. Of course, yeah, exactly. American Dream Team and a whole stack of other things was with us. So, of course, was Joanna and a whole heap of others, including Mark Aldridge, Jeff Thompson, and so on. So I just sort of mentioned that that's there because they can hear us in Horncastle, as you can in Nashville, or indeed globally by simply going to sirenonline.co.uk. Cameron, any questions you'd like to put to John? Because Maple Star Music and Media, of course, have, in the personification of Nikki Wells, already started beginning to make slight inroads into book publishing per se. You might have one or two questions, obviously, from John. John, it's fair to say you look primarily at the book publishing market from that point of view, as opposed to multimedia and all the rest of this.
Yeah, things are obviously widening out. Mm. And I was talking to the head of a Hollywood studio last night about one of my clients. Mm. But certainly it's books first and foremost.
Okay, well, if it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage.
Yeah.
There we are. So, Cameron, any quick questions for John?
Well, we've done kind of something that's in that realm with Nikki. With her novels, of course, we featured last week the debut of the fictional band that was inspired by her books. And we're now starting to make, we're getting worldwide radio airplay on this band that's come from the book. So we've kind of done what Spinal Tap did.
Yeah.
You know? And we're hoping that will spin off and people will be intrigued by the music and buy the books and go the other way around as well. People that had the books buy the music. Is that a real trend for you guys, crossing media?
I think it depends on the individual product, if you want to put it that way. But certainly it's something that a lot of publishers are looking at now, is how they can get into different markets and cross-fertilize.
Hybridization of the stuff. It's a wonderful, exciting thing. Gabriella, would you like to throw those two questions to Cameron Tilbury, please?
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Very good. Obviously, the studs are
in
Gibraltar.
Anytime you're there, Gabriella, it's interesting.
Well, there we are. Yeah.
And will you be joining us again? Hopefully in the near future, next week maybe?
I'll be back next week.
Exactly. And, of course, tomorrow at 9:40 on the first show, we're dedicating to the 130th Lincolnshire Agricultural Society show. We've got some fantastic things going, including, of course, the return of Melanie Crouch with or without her beaver patrol. Ooh, the flack that she got for that sort of comment. It's unbelievable, really. It's all due to investment in beavers.
You say that on radio.
I just have, twice. On to Holly, what do you think? Tusk featuring Sophie and Love Me Better. Cameron's just talking about it. Do you think we should give it another little...
Yeah. Go for it.
Okay.
I'm sure Nikki will be very, very happy.
Well, I should sincerely hope so. This, as I say, nothing to do with Spinal Tap, but this, John, is the live, real thing that emerged out of the fictional work of the Rockstar Romance Trilogy, featuring our very own Nikki Wells, Rockstar Romance Trilogy creator. Mm-hmm.
Notes from a Very Small Island can only mean it's time for our top Jersey correspondent, Anna Maria Lewis, on the Midweek Drive.
For the first time in 2014, Anna Lewis, welcome back. How are you?
Not so bad at all.
Marvellous.
I don't know if it's as cold where you are as it is here, but the weather is putting me off going out.
Really? Cold in Jersey? Good. Astounding.
Freezing, now, yep.
Unanswered question, which shall be addressed in the few seconds that we're following up with. John, you have a deep connection with Anna Lewis, though you may not have recognised it as yet. Do you want to know what that connection is?
I would love to.
It's the library, because before you actually entered into becoming a top publisher and then, of course, working as an independent literary agent, you, as you shared with me, had worked as a librarian.
For 15 years.
15 years, exactly.
Man and beast.
Well, there we are. Anna, bless her heart. I don't think... I mean, how many years have you been in the library business, Anna?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm not a librarian.
Oh, no!
I realise it's a profession. I've been an acting librarian in as much as our organisation hadn't appointed one until this year, actually, until the 2nd of January, bless us, cotton socks. But what I do is I'm a library assistant and I'm supposed to be an education officer. So I'm supposed to use the library to conjure up some amazing resources for young people and students to use to kind of further their educational interests.
Well, there we are. Critical stuff. I mean, does this chime with your own experiences, John, or is it just a case of, no, if they don't like books, they should just go away now?
I worked in the London Borough of Bromley, which is London's biggest borough and has 15 libraries in it, and I worked in most of them at one time or another. So very, very different
areas. Do you still
get
the nervous ticks, a bit like Vietnam, really, when you think... Yeah,
No, I mean, dealing with the public was great. It's just I did it for 18 years and that was enough.
Yeah, do you get that feeling, Anna, you know, dealing with the public? Oi, you know, I'm a library assistant, sort it out yourself.
Yeah, to be honest, that's the bit I prefer most. Books are great company, don't get me wrong, they are. But I think people are books, actually. Yeah. People are books, and if you read them properly, then you can get, you know, get something out of them. Incidentally, I worked in Bromley as well many years ago.
I was there from 72 to 87, Anna.
Oh, were you? I was there 84 to 6. I was working in Bromley High Street in a typing school. And I used to time people do touch typing exams. It was all very glamorous. But, yeah, those were the days.
Indeed.
It's what happens when you get a graduation from the University of London. That's important. You know, critical stuff is very important. You see, John, this is how much we structure this show around you. You know, you thought, you might turn around and say, well, find somebody who also works in the London Borough of Bromley. You know, that's the kind of magic we put together on this little piece.
Yeah. I've just been around a long time. I've done almost everything at one time or another.
Well, it's very good. Holly, you were saying, because I mean, it's quite some time since you spoke to Anna, in fact, because for a variety of reasons, you were off in Retford, which we started. What were you doing in Retford, my
friend? Just seeing friends.
It's all right. It's fine. I mean, we have some sort of code mission, you know. Holly in Retford. What did you do there? Sort of,
no, I went there and then went to Meadowhall shopping.
So. Well, there we are. It's very important.
Yeah. You know, no, because I remember last time, the last show I was on, and we didn't speak to Anna, and my mum had just come back from Jersey.
There we are, you see.
Oh, wow.
And she brought me back some fudge of... what's your, like... kind of main flavour? You've got like a certain Jersey flavour.
Oh, it's black butter.
Yeah, that black butter fudge. It was so nice. Like the fudge, it was so good. But a lot of my Christmas presents in my stocking were all from Jersey, so I got soaps and chocolates and everything, and it just reminded me of you.
You see? even when you're not here, you are. You know, when you're talking about book people, I thought it's Fahrenheit 451 all over again. It's Francois Truffaut. It's the end of the movie. It's wonderful. SF scenario there. So I take it then, for that matter, you're not a black fudge aficionado then, Anna?
No, it's actually licorice flavoured. It's not really butter at all. Mm. It's a kind of Branston pickly type thing that tastes of licorice.
You're not selling it, Anna, really, and it's to be fair, you know.
I read the packet, I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to taste nice.
It's a bit like Marmite. You either like it or you don't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, Gabriella, taste buds, does that sort of thing? Oh, that's great. Or do you think, where do you go? Do you go the Holly line and say it's fantastic?
It was very fudgy still, and I kind of got the flavours for you, but it wasn't as strong as I thought, so it was actually quite pleasant. But maybe one, like the flavour itself on its own, might be very
I'm
not that big a fan of licorice.
Kind of palatable. maybe.
And not a fan of licorice?
No, not that big a fan, no. Mm. But I don't know if I would like it. Maybe if I give it a try someday.
You must send some food parcels, you know, to Lincoln or Gibraltar or various other things. We'll work our way through. Oh, bring them along. You know, we'll work our way through that. John, do you think we are living in a post-literate society? Do you think that, I mean, people are sort of saying, oh, the book is dead and it's high time we effectively sort of just agreed that we're all on Kindle, we like that? Or do you think actually, no, as we said at the start, if it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage, it's an important, viable part of entertainment?
It's completely viable. You're still looking at 80% of the market being print books rather than e-books. But in all honesty, it's all one market, and you shouldn't say it's either print or it's a Kindle, it's about the words. Mm. So, you know, just because it's not a print book, that doesn't mean the words ain't there.
Let's just test that. Holly, do you prefer the hard copy word, or do you prefer e-readers and Kindle stuff? What do you prefer in terms of how do you...
I've got a book in my bag, so...
Ish, see.
And, I don't know, it feels like it's there.
Yeah.
Whereas, I've read stuff on my phone, and I get the convenience is great, because when you're on the train and you're bored, and you think, oh yeah, I've got a smartphone, so I can read something off that. Yeah. It is really handy, but to have a book, it's different, isn't it? It's there.
But I use it when I travel.
Yeah.
I fly out to the States a couple of times a year, and I'll download 3 or 4 paperbacks to my Kindle instead of having 3 or 4.
Oh yeah, no, I completely agree with that. But when you're at home,
a book
a book on your bookshelf. Bedside table.
Gabriella, do you disagree or do you think, no, in Gibraltar we're so high tech we didn't know what books were?
Actually, we don't have that great internet. So, I do prefer paperbacks. Trying to read, I don't have a Kindle, but trying to read off my laptop, I just can't do it. There's no way possible I can do that.
And that's what I meant, John, when I was sharing with you beforehand about the interesting line that we're coming through on this. And Anna, presumably you're saying, no, I just sort of like to go through injections directly into the cranium with respect to books, basically just download immediately.
No, the opposite, because I think it depends what kind of library you are. We're very eclectic and we've got a large number of very, very rare books. And that is almost a spiritual experience when you know, in one instance, it's 1609. It's more a manuscript than a book. But when you're actually picking up, say, an old book, it's almost like you're talking to all the owners of it.
Yeah.
And I have relationships with book plates. I find them absolutely sexy and amazing, and I'd rather spend company with a book sometimes than I would with a person.
And there you have it.
In a nutshell.
You know, you're not going to get many agony aunts or uncles that have got to deal with that sort of challenge. But there we are. It's fantastic stuff. If I said the words, oh, I could crush a grape, you might have some indication as to who we're going to be featuring up next, Anna. Or maybe not. I suspect Gabrielle was like, what the heck's he saying now? Ooh, I could crush a grape.
I don't know what you're saying.
No, exactly. No, I mean, John, you kind of get that resonance. Yeah, one or two things. Ooh, I could crush a grape. Holly?
Kind of,
yeah.
Oh, seeing this here.
Yeah. Seeing now the running order. Yeah, you think that
now
might...
I know who that is.
Exactly. That might be the man who co-presented with Basil Brush and a whole heap of other things, comedian Stu Francis. It probably is. He's coming up next on the Midweek Drive. But the last two questions for Anna Lewis are notes from a very small island contributor, of course, the island being Jersey, needs to be thrown along the way by Holly.
Anna, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have, thank you very much.
Good. And can we hope to hear from you again in the very near future?
Absolutely.
Lovely.